Well, hello out there. This from Rahm Emanuel, Chief of Staff to the President of the United States. You never let a serious crisis go to waste. The United States is in the midst of a serious food crisis. Yes, that's true, folks. Two giant farms recently sold us a half billion eggs contaminated with salmonella. That's serious. And so agents in the federal government with guns drawn and warrants in hand are breaking down the doors of the little people who sell fresh Whole Foods to their friends and neighbors. But we ask, why is government attacking the little people who have few, if any, food safety problems instead of the big people who have most, if not all, of the problems?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 698th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Lago Como who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Howdy.
Yeah, there you go. Folks, a thought from the Chief of Staff to the President of the United States. You never let a serious crisis go to waste. The United States is in the midst of a serious food safety crisis, and the government is not about to let it go to waste. Well, eggs, hamburgers, spinach, you name it, we seem to be in big trouble here. So what are we going to do about it? All have come contaminated with harmful microorganisms and other materials. And so with guns drawn and warrants in hand, the government has set out to take advantage of this food safety crisis. December 1, 2008, a special weapons and tactics team operating on behalf of the Ohio Department of Agriculture holds the Jacqueline and John Storrs family at gunpoint for 9 hours as they ransack the Storrs home looking for evidence. The Storrs' alleged crime? Selling fresh Whole Foods to friends and neighbors. June 2010, guns drawn and warrants in hand, agents of the federal, state, and local police attacked the Rossum Food Co-op in Venice, California. The co-op's alleged crime? Selling fresh Whole Foods to members of the co-op. August 2010, Brigitte Ruthman of Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts receives a government cease and desist order. Her alleged crime? Selling the fresh Whole Food from her one cow to three friends. Yes, the United States does have a food safety crisis. Hamburgers, eggs, peanuts, spinach, baby food, pet food, you name it, it seems to be contaminated with something bad. And yet the government effort to manage this food safety crisis seems to be focused on the little people who sell fresh Whole Foods to friends and neighbors and not to the giants in their factories far, far away. It's as if the Chinese Red Army is invading the West Coast and our government is retaliating by attacking Bermuda. And so we ask, why is the government attacking the little people who have few, if any, food safety problems, instead of the big people who have most, if not all, of the food safety problems? And who better to ask than a couple of the people who seem to be in big trouble for selling fresh Whole Foods to their friends and neighbors? We'll start with Brigitte. Did I get the name right, Brigitte?
It's Brigitte, but that's fine.
Brigitte, okay, good. It would be a Montana pronunciation. Brigitte. Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Tell us a little bit about your Joshua's Farm.
I fell in love with dairy farming and cows as a teenager. I'm now 50 years old, and I've done many things in my life. I am a career journalist, and I became a herdsman on a farm in northern Vermont in the 1970s. And those memories never left me, and I could not reject the opportunity to build a farm in the Berkshires, and I did, really from the ground up. I built the farmhouse, I built the barn, and finally, after 5 years, I brought my first cow calf back from New Hampshire, and that calf I bred, and with great trial and tribulation, many things going wrong, many things you really need to know as a herdsman. It's a very complicated, very delicate skill. and it's art and science, and I almost lost the calf because no vet would come this far, April 6th, and I began milking. And I did that for a few months, and I think I must have gotten on a hit list with the state's Department of Agriculture because I testified on behalf of small farms in May when the Department of Agriculture tried to undo the buyers club, and must have taken till August, but they wound around to me and issued me a cease and desist order. And I have a cow herd share situation, and although I have just one cow milking now, this is really a slow-growing small dairy farm. It wasn't meant to just be one farm, but they tried to stop me at one cow.
So here's Bridget in the mountains of the Berkshires of Massachusetts with one cow and three people who have bought herd share. Tell, what is a herd share exactly?
Well, I explain it as this. If you want to own a cow because you really want raw milk, I call it fresh milk, by the way, because raw is a
fresh whole milk.
Used by regulators, right? Yeah. And you want to own a cow, and somebody else down the road wants to own a cow, and somebody else wants to own a cow, but they want to go on vacation. They don't want the trouble of watching after an animal and the responsibility and the upkeep and the infrastructure. So they buy one cow together, and I take care of it, and I milk it. And you pay me if you're part of the share owner of that cow for its upkeep. So in essence, you're part owner of that cow. You just don't have to have all the difficulties involved in having it in your backyard. And lo and behold, the government still allows us to have our own cow and drink our own milk, hopefully, because that's your cow, and you don't have to pass any regulations. So in essence, this cow is owned by four people.
Mm-hmm. And so you get a cease and desist order.
Right.
Essentially because you're testifying in favor of small farms at one of the food safety hearings, correct?
That's my belief. They say it was because I ended up on a realmilk.com website, which I didn't put myself on. But I do believe it was because I testified. They cited my testimony in the cease and desist order letter that followed up.
Well, you seem like to be a terrible criminal to me and to the federal government, obviously, and the subject of a great crime. Has your milk hurt anybody?
No. And in Massachusetts, the only harm that has been done by milk was in 2007 when three people died from drinking pasteurized milk. And I it's very frustrating to me that, you know, we have to educate people one at a time, but they don't understand that pasteurized milk is really a blank plane for bacteria to grow. And the fresh milk is really all of the good things in it. It can actually kill the bad thing.
Let me go back and go through that one more time. Pasteurized milk essentially is an open field for any bacteria that happens to evade it, because all of the defenses against harmful bacteria have been destroyed by pasteurization.
Correct. And when I was a herdsman in Vermont, we shipped our milk to Agrimark, which is a cooperative, and we were getting back then about what we were getting, what you would get now, about $1 a gallon. And we could drop the claw. The claw is the thing that the suction cups that go adhere to the udder. We could drop that into the gutter, and it wouldn't really matter because the allowable levels of bacteria for that milk that you ship to be pasteurized and homogenized is much higher than the zero tolerance that you have for cleanliness and herd health with fresh milk. So we often wondered if the city people knew that they were drinking sanitized manure, really, a lot of the time, when that manure just went right along with the milk through the pipeline. That's not allowable on a fresh milk situation.
So it doesn't, as long as the milk is going to be pasteurized, it's going to have all kinds of stuff in it, because
correct.
It's going to be,
yep.
It's kind of like making fecal matter safe to drink then.
Right, we're sanitized manure a lot of the time. It was back then. I don't know what's happening now, but mm-hmm. if I create a good product and it's safe, and by the way, none of my cows, and I have five of them, two are bred, I'm milking one, they're all healthy, they all have pasture, they get really good human care, and the cow has the calf at her side for half the day. I believe that is, there's something that hasn't been proven by science that makes that a better thing for the cow in the long run. But that Milk has no antibiotic residue. It has no chemical residue, nothing. There's no chemical pesticides used here, and I don't use any any hormones.
And yet it has become public enemy number one, and with it, Bridget Ruthman of Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. So when we come back, we're going to find out why. We're going to ask why milk and fresh whole milk and fresh whole foods have become such a threat to the federal government and all of its subsidiary governments that they are now focusing on people like Bridget instead of the big people who are really in the trouble that we find ourselves in. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back. This is part two of The Gods That Damn Food on the Food Chain radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're looking at the small people the government is attacking in its effort to manage the food safety crisis here in the United States. And we're kind of wondering today why it is that the government is actually attacking the little people who have few, if any, food safety problems instead of the big people who have most, if not all, of the food safety problems. With us today, we have Bridget Ruthman, who is the proprietor of Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. We also had scheduled today Agnes van der Planitz with the Rossum Food Co-op in Venice, California, but Agnes is in the Philippine Islands, and we tried to get through to him at the head of the program and fell off the planet someplace probably between, the Philippines and in Hawaii. We fell into the ocean and we lost Agnes. But he has an incredible story to tell about how agents from the federal, state, and local governments come bursting into the doors of his food co-op in Venice, California, and held people at gunpoint. They actually have a video of the men in black with their 45s pointed at somebody and standing there amidst the crates of fresh whole foods. And we're just wondering why. What is going on here that the government is attacking the little people instead of going after the big people, like those big people who had two egg farms in Wright County, Iowa, and sold us a half billion salmonella contaminated eggs? Why are they going after Bridget Ruthman and the Rossum Food Co-op in L.A. and the Stowers family in Ohio? What is going on here? That's the question on the table today. And so back to Bridget, we're with you. You're also a journalist, correct?
Yes.
Right. So in part one of The Gods That Damn Food, we talked about milk and how raw milk or fresh whole milk, excuse me, has become the focal point for the government's effort to really come down, if you'll pardon that expression, on local food. And so I asked, well, what's wrong with fresh whole milk? Does it make people sick? And we learned last week that of the 72 million people that get sick every year from eating bad food, you know, a little bit of food poisoning, I guess is what they call it, a whole 116 are attributed to fresh whole milk, which is almost absolutely nothing. And in the last 57 years that the CDC has kept records, They only can find one incidence in which a person has died attributed to fresh whole milk, and that lady had advanced cancer. So it's why, Bridget?
You raise very good questions, and it would be wise for us involved in this discussion to think, okay, what are they thinking? To understand what are they thinking in order to resolve this, because in the end, a battle is just going to be a battle, and perhaps we won't win that battle, but to discuss is really to get to a median, a middle ground, and as long as the public is supporting what they want, then we can have laws to allow that. But in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, my question was exactly that. What is happening? And mind you, I have lived my entire life as a very good citizen. I have been a firefighter and a medical technician, won numerous awards for those things, been involved in the community, done enormous things to help communities. And when I got that cease and desist order, I felt really like you had taken a 2x4 and slammed me across the head as an American citizen. I didn't understand it. So really, one of my processes was to say, what is happening here? What is going on? And remember Deep Throat, who said, follow the money. Follow the money. And I did some research, and I did find a quote from Commissioner Scott Soares in Massachusetts, who made no mystery of his resolve to protect the commercial dairy industry. And he said, if someone gets sick from drinking fresh, he said, raw milk, then we are risking the entire dairy industry, and people will stop drinking milk. So there you have it. In so many words, he's saying he's protecting big money. And that's not what people want, and it's not what's happening, because in Massachusetts there was no illness that provoked this May 10th interest in stopping the Buyers Club. There was no outbreak. And in fact, there are several farms this very weekend who are opening their doors to the public to sell and promote fresh milk. And Massachusetts has been a proponent on some level of fresh milk, and it is a place where people understand good food. So the mystery is a little bit mysterious.
So essentially what you're saying that the Massachusetts government is saying is that if somebody gets sick drinking raw milk, then nobody will drink any milk.
Right, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. And the science doesn't back them up.
No, it would seem to be just about the other way around.
Yeah, it's the reverse. In fact, in Massachusetts, it's very much the reverse, because the only people who have fallen deathly ill were from drinking pasteurized milk.
So now, in a lawsuit against the government from the an organization, the Food Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, I believe has brought suit against the federal government to prevent them from preventing the sale of fresh whole milk, and the government responded by some really interesting things. They said essentially that we as consumers have no absolute right to consume any particular food. So this is just not about raw milk, is it?
That's right. This is an issue that is far, far bigger than milk. It has to do with the right to choose what you want to eat and drink.
And how did you find yourself on the front lines of this interesting struggle that we're going through as a nation?
Well, I think it was because I challenged them on it in May, but the aftermath of the cease and desist order, if I might contribute that,
sure,
it became sort of interesting. There are four states in this country that specifically allow that model that I described as herd cow share, mm-hmm. and there are four in the country that specifically disallow it. The rest is not remarkable. There is no notation, no law, nothing is said about it.
Open for interpretation, then.
Right. So you sort of exist, and I have had a number of communications from people in Massachusetts who have said, you know, we've received cease and desist orders, and we just ignore them, and nobody follows up, and we're just sort of living in fear that what we're doing is going to be stopped, but we're continuing to do it. So there are a whole lot of people living in that netherworld of neither allowed nor disallowed. So this particular situation is going to likely test that law, the absence of that law, and whether we can create a regulation, as happened in Illinois, by creating regulations outside of litigation. I have a very good attorney by the name of Doug Wilkins, who has stepped forward.
Bridget Ruffman has a very good attorney, and she's not afraid to fight.
No, I am not afraid, and I mentioned, you know, I have lived a very honorable life, and I have done much for communities and helped, and I believe in good food and being a good community person.
Are you then not all the more of a threat?
I am going to be a very strong opponent to this in this battle, and right now I am laying down my sword and I'm saying, let's figure this out. Because in the end, isn't that the goal, to make this work and not let's throw down my spear and let's just work on this. However, if that doesn't work out, then Doug Wilkins, who is a very
okay, hold that thread. We will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Bridget Ruffin with a good fight. Right back. Well, there is a food crisis here in the United States, a food safety crisis. A lot of foods coming to us that are contaminated with things that they should not be contaminated with. And yet they tend to be foods that come from a long, long ways away. Those foods that tend to come to us from those people down the street, our friends and neighbors who grow and produce food, don't seem to have those problems. And yet the government is going after the little people that have few, if any, food safety problems. And they don't seem to be, the government does not seem to be too concerned about those giant factories that sell us a half billion eggs contaminated with salmonella. They let them go on their merry way. Why is this? Why is the government going after the little people and not the big people? We have one of those little people with us today, Bridget Ruffman from the Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. And, it must have come as some surprise, as it did for those folks who operate the Rossum Food Collective down there in Venice, California, when the SWAT team come busting in with their guns drawn and their warrants in hand. And the Storrs family, I believe it was in Ohio, who were held at gunpoint for 9 hours while the government ransacked their homes looking for evidence that they were selling fresh whole foods to their friends and neighbors. And here's Bridget, who gets a cease and desist order. How did they come to you, Bridget?
I had it come three ways. I guess they were
three ways.
Three ways. I got it. One way was by a registered letter, and another way was by regular mail, and the third same notice came by personal delivery by an inspector of the Department of Agriculture, MDAR, in Massachusetts.
And your crime, selling fresh whole milk to three people from your one cow.
Right. They saw it as I was finding a loophole in the law. That's the way they see it, that I'm finding a loophole in the law to sell raw milk, fresh milk, rather than selling shares in the cow.
Uh-huh. What made you decide to stand up and fight? I mean, one person against not only a government, it's not only the government here, it's one person against government and big business.
I guess that's a pretty good question. And to tell you the truth, I never even gave it a moment's thought. There was no other reaction to this. How could there be another reaction to this? As I say, I have lived my life, I have lived a very good law-abiding and careful life, and I take very good care of my cows, and I'm actually really, really proud of what I do. And to receive that notice in the mail there was no other reaction. There was no other possibility than to say no. No, I'm not going to hide. No, this is what I do. It's allowable. It's not illegal. So I'm going to stand up and tell you that. There's no other alternative.
And what was there? So you found somebody to stand up and fight with you then? You found a
Actually, I found, no kidding, a couple of really, really prominent attorneys who were willing to take this fight on. And I have some support. And one of these attorneys is Doug Wilkins, who is the former first assistant attorney general in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I'm going to forever wish that I could have heard or seen the reaction to knowing that this little person had this very prominent attorney, and a letter went off to NDAR demanding that they rescind their cease and desist order. I believe that was on August 8th. Within a couple few days after I received the order, he received a call at his law office in Cambridge, Massachusetts, within hours from NDAR agreeing to rescind the cease and desist order. Perhaps they know they made a mistake. I don't know. But the follow-up letter to their verbal agreement to rescind it included the same language that the cease and desist order included. So I don't really know that they, I don't really think that they rescinded it. They just reworded it in a follow-up letter that they believe that I am committing a crime by selling raw milk when in fact I'm not. They claim distribution of milk is a crime. It's illegal, and it's not.
So they have you in this legal netherworld of, well, maybe we're going to get you, and maybe we're not going to get you for selling fresh, whole milk to your herd share people, three people who... I was just thinking of this over the break. It seems like a very reasonable way to get your dairy products is to own a part of a cow.
Sure.
And in that ownership, I'll bet the people who own part of your cow know you, don't they?
Sure. And when I was beginning this process, these three people, and one of them, by the way, comes from an hour away. They come here. I introduce them to the cows. They get to know the cows, their names. They see the barn. And by the way, where I milk my cow, you could have a picnic lunch on the floor. It is extremely clean, and they get to know and trust. And trust is a very important part when you're farming, that your consumer, your client, knows who you are and they trust your product. They know that I'm doing everything I can to make these cows healthy and to provide a safe and clean product.
Well, I was wondering about that because when I milked cows as a young man, a young boy actually, on my grandparents' farm, it wasn't very clean at all. I mean, it was kind of a messy situation,
right.
And yet we never got sick. Hey, by golly, look who I just found on the line here. We've got to pick him up. Ajanus joined us. Ajanus,
yes.
Are you there?
I'm here, Michael.
You're in the. We tried calling you back and couldn't get through. You're in the Philippines.
Yes, but other people have called me, and no problem. I don't know why you couldn't.
Well, I was fumbling around with the phone here and trying to get on the radio at the same time. It was just probably my mistake. Ajanus, can you tell us a little bit about what happened to you at the Rossum Food Collective in Venice, California?
Well, the six branches of government showed up and raised their guns when they started searching the walk-in where we keep some cold food stored. And basically what we have there is a place for people to come and pick up the food that they own, because we have lease agreements with farmers for their land and their animals. So we own the food, so there's not a sale of food at this co-op.
Right.
And I had to set it up that way. I created these leases because the FDA wants to shut down raw milk because they think it isn't healthy. I think it's full. I think they know it's healthy. They just are kowtowing to the big food producers, especially the dairy industry, which is $2 billion a year in this country, and they just don't want to lose anything, so I think that's why they're coming after us. Anyway, there were six...
Can you hold? We have to take a quick break. Did they come at you with their guns drawn?
No, they didn't. They drew the guns after they started searching the property.
Can you hold on for just a minute?
Yes.
Okay, good. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about the little people the government is going after in its quest to control the food chain. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Why is government so terrified of fresh whole milk and yet so friendly to the drugs that are killing us by the millions? Why is government telling us that we have no absolute right to consume any particular food, that we have to have the government's permission for that food? Why is government attacking the little people who have few, if any, food safety problems instead of the big people who have most, if not all, of the food safety problems? With us today, Bridget Ruthman, Joshua's Farm in Massachusetts, Arjanus van der Planets of the Rossum Food Collective in Venice, California. Arjanus, have you guys ever had any food safety issues with your Rossum Food Collective?
Yes, they came in 2005 and tried to close us for not having a permit and a health license, and I instructed them then they have no jurisdiction. They only have jurisdiction over commerce. This is a private club, people just coming to pick up their food, and what they pay for when they pick up their food is what we have to pay the farmer for him producing, caring for our animals, housing them, feeding them, milking them, bottling our product, and then shipping it to us. So it's not an actual sale of merchandise because we own it. So they didn't do anything for 5 years. Then when they came in...
You have 1 minute remaining on your card.
The FBI, the Canadian FDA, the U.S. FDA, the California state government, agricultural department.
General Custer and the
Los
whole
Angeles,
crew.
Yes, the Los Angeles health department and, building and safety, I think it was. Anyway, they came in with a warrant. Now, the warrant was issued you can only get a warrant issued on a felony suspect. And everything that they claimed was a problem was just a misdemeanor. So it was a false warrant. We can sue them on those grounds. We can sue four of the...
Are you going to fight?
Your card balance is getting low. Take advantage of our low recharge rate of...
All right.
0.47.
Arjanus, let's see, I think I lost him there. Arjanus, are you going to fight?
To make a call, press 1.
I guess not. I guess we lost Arjanus. Arjanus is in the Philippines right now, so we've been stretching really far to use our calling cards to get him, and I guess one of our calling cards just ran out. But Arjanus is fighting. Bridget, does that sound familiar?
I'm still here, yes.
Does his fight sound familiar? It sounds like almost exactly the same thing you're going through.
It does, and I'm actually very heartened to be included in a group of people across this country who have done far more than me to support the ability to provide people with what they want in their food choices and to provide a really good product. And I think in the long run, and this needs to be said, that it's not me or anybody else in this country that's going to decide who's providing the food source. It's the people who are buying it. And they really need to make themselves known, because in this country, we have the right to change government and change what we don't like about the laws. And that's what's going to make a difference. You can't you can't be ambivalent. You really have to be active and have a voice in this.
So it's not just the farmers here, is it?
No. No, it's not. It's the people who are interested in and want the product. And actually the three people who are my HerdShare members were ready to storm the Bastille and go to Boston with their fists up in the air more than I was, because I wanted really to make this work and do a little detente, and they were more angry than I, and that's good, because they're the ones that will end up without the product that they want if I can't produce it.
Craig, welcome to the food chain. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Michael. How long have these kind of food raids been going on, and who the hell's behind this all is my question.
Bridget, how long has this been going on?
For me?
No, for everybody.
For everybody, you should watch this video called Symphony in the Barn. It's about Michael Schmidt's story in Ontario, and that has happened some time ago. Really, this attack on small food producers is not new, but it's now just gaining some attention.
Why is it gaining attention? Why is it?
Well, that's a good question, because you know what? There is a very, very strong growth in community agriculture, and especially in the Berkshires we see it, in places in California, in Vermont. People are no longer satisfied to go to the store and buy a dozen eggs that were produced in a place where the manure piles up 8 feet and it's still allowable. They want to buy eggs from a place where the chickens roam free and they're healthy. And they want to buy milk from a place where they know the cow, and they know the cow has no chemicals in it, and they know the cow's well cared for. And it's fresh milk. They want to know where their food sources are. And we see that a lot in the country, quote unquote, in the places where you're close to the farm. In the city, the process the progress is a little slower, but it's also happening there too. People are no longer satisfied with what they're presented with in a grocery store.
The big lie. Craig, can you hang with us? We're going to take a quick break. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Bridget Ruthven with us. We had a Janus with us from the Rossum Food Collective, and you do stay tuned. We will be right back. Why is the government attacking the little people who have few, if any, food safety problems instead of the big people who have most, if not all, of the food safety problems? This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Big thanks to Bridget Ruthven from Joshua's Farm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Also, Ajanus Vonderplanets from the Awesome Food Collective, who is with us in spirit, if not on the phone today. He's out there in the Philippine Islands, and we lost a call. Let's go quickly through the... We have a full board here, so let's go quickly and get as many as we can. Craig, you want to follow up?
Well, okay. My second question was, who's behind this in the government? Who are the names? If you have a really good lawyer, I'd want him to find out exactly who and expose them and put him on trial.
Well,
or her on trial.
Here's an answer for you. Google the food safety czar of the federal government, and you'll find a guy named Michael Taylor. And Michael Taylor was the person who's responsible for getting bovine growth hormone through the FDA so that you can drink it without knowing you're drinking it. And he also wrote a book about how you, Craig, could sue people like Bridget for labeling their milk as having had no bovine growth hormone in it. Is that about true, Bridget?
Yep.
There you go.
I have labels all ready to go if I ever got to that point, but I can't use the labels.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Scott really quickly. Scott, go ahead.
Of course they want to control us all. Fresh whole milk is the most wonderful food I've ever tasted in my life. I honestly wondered how anyone could be ever addicted to heroin. It's beyond wonderful. Have you heard of the Oath Keepers? It turns out our local sheriff has the power to protect us. The sheriff is the highest elected official in the land. Sheriff Mack...
I've heard about this.
Yes, he was going to be arrested for not enforcing an unconstitutional law. He challenged it and won in court. And the court determined
was he not pictured drinking a glass of fresh whole milk?
I'm not sure.
I think he was.
Yeah, I'll bet he is.
All right, thanks for the call, Scott. Michael. Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome to the food chain. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to know what the present status in California is for fresh whole milk and what happened to Altadena, and I'll take my answer on the air. You're doing a great job, all you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I don't know what the status is. I know that you can get fresh whole milk. Bridget, do you have any idea?
Each state has a different set of regulations, and one of the things that I argued in Boston in testimony is that I can take my cow, I am very near the Connecticut border, march her down to Connecticut, and I could sell that milk at a retail store. I can't do that in Massachusetts under any conditions.
Okay, and Jim, down there in the, with the Rossum Food Collective, you got a contact for us for Agenis?
He actually, in answer to many of these questions, he and Dr. Douglas wrote a 63-page report on raw milk. It gives the whole story of the who and the when. It's not up to date because it was written a couple of years ago and handed to each congressperson by Agenis personally. It is on his site, which is www.wewantthenumeral2live.com. You have to go down, find purchase books, and then it'll be listed just as a milk report.
There
for
you
15.
Go. And thank you very much. Bridget Ruthman, what can we do as consumers to help you as a producer?
Don't forget that many of these fights, as mine is being fought by tax dollars. In fact, the enemy, quote-unquote, is being paid for through the tax dollars.
Stop spending our taxes attacking Bridget Ruthman. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, stay tuned next week for part three in The Gods That Damn Food. We're going to talk about Senate Bill 510. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.